Good. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to what's the last of these Wednesday evening meditations. I trust they've been a help and a blessing to us in these times in which we find ourselves in God's providence. Tonight in the sanctuary, we have a number of young people, seven altogether. After this meditation, they are appearing before the consistory to confess their faith. So the meditation is serving a dual purpose. It's meant to minister to all of us, and it's also the devotion for the consistory meeting, the opening devotion. Right after our time here, the consistory will meet just a few members in person, the rest over Zoom, and the young people, and we will be listening to them. So if you think of that later this evening, maybe pray also for God's blessing on that meeting. For tonight's text, I want to set before you the words of Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Romans 15, verse 13. As we bring these evenings to a close, thought about different things to do, and hopefully the word of tonight can be an encouraging word to you. We read here in Romans 15, verse 13, the Apostle Paul saying, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Let's seek God's face in prayer, and in our prayer also we want to give thanks that Isaiah Zweep came home on Monday. He's doing very well, for which we want to praise God. Lord God of hope, we draw near to you tonight as we meet together for one more Wednesday evening meditation. We thank you, Lord, for all these evenings that we could gather in this way, and we thank you again for your word which sustains us and which you use also to strengthen us day by day, all your people, throughout all that we experience. And Lord, we pray that your blessing would be upon this evening as well, that as we listen to the Apostle Paul, let us in on what he was desiring and praying also for the Christians of Rome, that we too would understand and we too would join with him, seeking, Lord, that you might fill us with all joy and peace in believing, so that we may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, be our teacher tonight and speak to each one of us as we listen. Be in every home and meet every heart. And bless us for the sake of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We acknowledge you for many good and precious gifts, including that Isaiah Zweep could come home earlier this week from the hospital. Lord, we prayed for him last week in view of the surgery that was scheduled, and you have heard our prayers and answered our prayers very wonderfully also for him and for his family. We pray that you will continue to bless him with healing mercies and renewing strength. And remember his family and give them your grace. Remember all those in need, Lord, whatever the needs may be, including also we think of Mr. Highcoop in his frailty and others as well. We commend them to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, abounding in hope. That is what the apostle is talking about, as you can see and hear what he is praying for. As he wraps up this letter, very famous letter to the Roman church, and especially the last couple of chapters, what he has been working through, particularly in 14 and 15, is unity in the church and the importance of bearing with each other and accepting each other in the Lord. Back in the day, one of the issues was how exactly to live as Jewish Christians with their Old Testament heritage, and especially the ceremonial law, and do we keep it? And what about how to handle Gentile Christians? And how might we all worship together and serve the Lord together? And Paul's great concern, or one of his great concerns as he writes these chapters, really what drives the whole letter, even all the doctrine of chapters 1 through 8, for instance, all the towering chapters of Christian truth, through it all, Paul's great concern is to show what unites us, namely Christ and his salvation, and to be justified through faith in him, and to have peace with God, and to rejoice in hope of the glory of God, and to receive the Holy Spirit. That and more unites us, so that whatever else may be our background or our preference or circumstance, let us be sure to receive one another and to edify one another. So that's some of the broader context. And admittedly, it is as important today as it was when Paul first wrote it. How crucial it is that we do all we can to preserve the unity of the church. Of course, unity in the truth, that's foundational. But to preserve that unity, including sometimes to forgo our own desires, our own preferences, and to be patient with each other and to bear with one another. All of that is context and worthwhile to study, also in view of the times and the many strains and stresses that we as church and as churches continue to experience. But leaving all that for now, Paul is wrapping up, and he concludes with this wish, and really with this prayer. And the essence of this prayer is that the people of Rome, that the church in Rome might abound in hope, might be so full, so up to the top, and more even, overflowing, really, with hope. Now may the God of hope fill you, that you might abound in hope. So Paul is praying for that. He is praying that the people there in Rome might abound in hope. Now, isn't that a good prayer? Also, as we conclude these Wednesday nights together, if I'm not mistaken, here in Ontario, we are officially today at the end of stay at home. It's not complete freedom, not by a long shot, we might even say, and there are many questions about the way forward and what reason to uphold our government in prayer and all aspects of our society, and especially to plead with God for relief and deliverance in his mercy and grace and for his sake. But even so, more basic yet, more important and more fundamental is that regardless of circumstances, how crucial that what Paul prays for may be our desire, our prayer, and our experience. Surely that's the aim of the apostle and his intent, and the way it ought to be for any and every Christian and for the whole Christian church, that no matter what is going on all around us or within us, no matter what is going on, this is key. This is what we should seek for and pray for. This is what God wills for us and what God will work in us, even as we look to him, that we may abound in hope, that we may be people overflowing with hope. Paul would say that's very possible according to the Bible, according to the God of the Bible. It's very possible, and we should aim and strive for it. Think here of Psalm 42. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Hope in God. Isn't that always the answer? Isn't that the one and only way forward? Isn't that how we must live in this world every day and with all that we experience? And so Paul is praying that his readers and really all Christians may hope in God and abound even in hope. Again, to abound means to be full of hope, even to overflow with hope. It means that no matter what is happening, we don't lose hope. Even when we are sad and discouraged, we're still hopeful. We're still confident even that God is in charge and God is good and God will be with us and God will get us through. God will make everything well and God will take all his church home to himself in due time. That's hope according to the Bible. That's Christian hope. And Paul is praying that God's people might be full of that hope. Despite lockdown, despite limitations, despite lack of freedom to gather, despite life not being like it once was, despite no in-person school this month, as many were hoping for, despite all these things and much more, we can be hopeful still, and we can be abounding even in hope if we want to. That's what Paul's praying for. That's this text, praying to abound in hope. But why can we pray like this? What does Paul know that can make him so clear and so bold? Lord, make these people abound in hope. On what basis? For what reason? Well, Paul would say it's because of who God is. It's because He is the God of hope. What a great way for Paul to describe the Lord in the text. Now may the God of hope. Elsewhere He's called the God of peace, the God of truth, the God of love, the God of grace. Here He is the God of hope. That means He is the God in whom all hope is found. And He is the God also who gives hope. It's in Him. It's from Him and it's through Him. He is the God of hope. And those aren't just words and ideas for Paul. Those are biblical realities. Those are historical realities. We only need to think of the way God revealed Himself in the Garden of Eden, when all around man, sinful man, the curse was falling, judgment was coming, and hope was fading. And yet in that very moment, the Lord God came and promised a Redeemer and Deliverer. He kindled man's hope, even in the midst of all the hopelessness that came through his sin and guilt. And think how the Lord finally followed through on that when He sent His one and only Son, who came to be the Savior from sin, from death and hell, and came to give His people life through His blood as was shed on the cross. Truly, all of that makes God the God of hope. And that means that no situation is ever beyond Him. No situation is ever too much for Him. No situation in your life, or no situation in our life as church. No situation is more than He can manage. Let's remember that in times of distress and confusion and trouble. Let's remember that in times of difficulty and sorrow, in times of weariness and pain and suffering and persecution. Let's remember our God is always the God of hope. He is well able to save us from anything, or else to sustain us through anything. He is well able to meet us and to minister life and hope to our soul. Have we always remembered this? Have we always remembered? Isn't it true that we can so easily and so often lose sight of it when we look only to our problems and challenges? When we look only, say, at the wild waves and billows of the sea, how prone we can be to forget who we are trusting, who we are serving. He's the God of hope. He's the God who says to us, never be afraid, never despair. No, hope in God, hope in the God of hope. So just God being the God of hope should encourage us so much. And we know it's true because by faith we see Jesus at His right hand, Jesus as Savior and Lord. But what exactly is Paul asking the God of hope to do? How does Paul see Him making us to abound in hope? If we notice the text, we can see several things. One is the importance of believing. Paul talks about joy and peace in believing. So he's writing to believers, and he's writing about believing. Isn't it good to remind ourselves that we are to be people of faith? That means that we are to be trusting God and His Word. Believing. Is that not what marks us really as Christians? And what makes us true Christians? That we are believers in God. That we are believers in His Son. That we live out our lives believing in Jesus Christ, knowing Him, confessing Him, following Him. We live by faith in Him, in His Word, in His promises. Wasn't that how you started in your Christian life? Wasn't that how it began, at least consciously? That you came to accept God's Word as true, all of it. You came to accept it, and at the same time, you submitted to it. You surrendered to it. You surrendered to Jesus Christ. In some way, you came to say, Jesus, I believe you. I believe in you. I look to you for the forgiveness of my sins, and I want to serve you with all of my life. That's how we start in Christian life. Whether we can express it so clearly as that, maybe it can take some time and we grow in our understanding. But that's how it starts nonetheless, believing in Christ. It's how we begin, and then it's how we go on. Believing is what marks us every day. We are saved by faith and we live by faith. How good to remember that and to press on with that, to live in the exercise of faith. To say routinely to the Lord, Lord, I need you. I will trust in you. Or maybe help me trust in you. Maybe many times that's how it goes. But even so, keep on doing that. See, we'll never abound in hope without faith. We'll never be filled with hope. We'll never overflow with hope apart from faith, apart from believing and trusting. And if you still need to start with that tonight, well, God Himself calls you to it, even this very moment. But notice what else Paul says. He writes about being filled with all joy and peace in believing. So this is what he's asking for, what he's praying for. Because this is the key to abounding in hope. We need to be filled with all joy and peace in believing. What's that mean? What's Paul really asking for? If we think of joy, joy has to do with great happiness of heart. But a happiness that is not tied to our earthly circumstances, a happiness that is not dependent on our earthly condition. It's not related to how well we are feeling, ultimately, or how well we are doing. It's deeper. Joy is deeper. It's more powerful, even. It is joy from the Lord. It is the joy of the Lord. It's the joy that comes through knowing Him and living in relationship to Him. He Himself, in Himself, is fullness of joy, and we experience joy as we are in that communion with Him. He, our God, the Father, our Father, the Son, our Savior, the Holy Spirit living within. So we can smile inside and be happy inside because we know the God who is the source of our joy. What about peace? Joy and peace, Paul says. Peace is very much related to joy. Peace refers to inner contentment. Again, not dependent on earthly circumstances, not tied to our earthly condition. No, this peace too is deeper and more powerful. It's the peace that comes through reconciliation with our Creator God. It's the peace of our conscience cleansed of our guilt, and our soul freed from the power of sin, the chains broken that once enslaved us. It's the peace that comes through being right with God through the work of Jesus Christ and becoming therefore an heir of heaven, an heir of heaven, an heir of eternal life. It's peace in our soul no matter what happens because nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. It's peace that comes from Christ Himself. Peace I give you, he said. Peace passing all understanding. What special blessings these are, joy and peace. What a privilege to receive them. And notice how Paul is praying here so massively because he says, may God fill you with all joy and peace. He's not praying for little blessings. May God fill you with all joy and peace. So as you believe, as you exercise faith in God, as you trust in the Redeemer and Savior Jesus Christ, my prayer, Paul says, is that you would be filled to the full with joy and peace. Because all joy and peace are the fruits of that believing. Because as you believe, and the more you believe, that opens the doorway to this joy. and to this peace. And don't we know this from experience? When are we so often without joy? When are we without peace? How many times it is when our faith is weak? How many times when we are not living really in the exercise of faith, maybe not diligent in reading the Word of God, or faithful in prayer, not seeking the Lord, not trusting Him, maybe not confessing our sins, not forsaking them and finding mercy, not deliberately and resolutely and continually looking to the living God in Jesus Christ. Whenever that's us, inevitably we suffer in terms of joy and we struggle with lack of peace. And likewise, when we are living in the exercise of faith, when we are deliberately and resolutely and continually looking to God in Jesus Christ, oh, how often joy, much joy, and great peace fill our souls. And so what Paul is calling us to is active faith. And what Paul is praying for all the while is that God will bless our faith. So be active in faith and may God bless your faith so richly that you experience tons of joy and peace. Not necessarily because everything is so good in your life. You're strong, you're healthy, you're doing well at whatever you're doing. All those things can be blessings, but they are not the secret. They cannot be the secret to all joy and peace. No, joy and peace like this flow from faith. They come directly from God's hand. They are a special gift to the believing. And joy and peace can be ours even when so much else seems to be against us. These Roman Christians to whom Paul was writing, just like so many believers throughout the ages, they too struggled. They too knew about temptation and trial and tribulation. They too could tell you about anxiety and fear and other things. It was there in their lives too. But Paul says, listen, there's a way to be filled with all joy and peace. And notice too how he credits the Holy Spirit. Of course, it comes only by the Holy Spirit. By the power, Paul says, of the Holy Spirit. See, the Almighty Spirit of God does it all. And we know that. It is He who brings anyone to faith in the first place. It is He who enters a sinner's heart and creates new life in that heart so that a sinner learns to look away from himself or herself to Christ. Because no one else can forgive you. No one else can deliver you. It is the Spirit of God who brings a sinner to Christ, enables a sinner to believe. Faith is a gift of God from the Holy Spirit. But likewise is His filling with joy and peace. We cannot manufacture joy and peace. We can only seek it and receive it through faith by the Spirit. And He comes also in answer to prayer. The power of the Spirit is at work so often in answer, in response to prayer. And when He comes, when the Spirit comes, when the Spirit exercises His power, and when He fills you with joy and peace in believing, do you know what happens next? Paul tells us, that's when you abound in hope. Remember, that's the overall aim, that we overflow with hope. What does that mean? What's that look like? It means that with whatever else is going on, we live with a certain quiet, steady confidence in God. So that no matter what is going on, we just know. We're absolutely certain He's in charge. He's got a plan. He's not letting us go. Even though we cannot see, maybe He's doing something. He's at work. He's making something of His people, and He's gathering His church and defending and preserving it and building it. He's perfecting every one of His own. Nothing is wasted. No mistakes are made by the God of heaven, by the Christ who is King. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be all wrought up inside and discouraged and bowed down as we can so often be. No, that quiet confidence can mark us day after day, hour after hour. That confidence of the presence of God, the help of God, the blessing of God, the care and love of God. And we can be sure that someday He will perfect us and glorify us forever. That's to abound in hope. To meet every moment, every circumstance with that conviction. And that conviction then affecting and directing every decision and all our response and our whole way of life. Oh, what a vision Paul sets before us. What an experience he holds out to us. And remember, he's praying for it. Isn't that the key? To pray for it. To seek it from the Lord. Lord, let me have this. God of hope, give this to us. In a hopeless world, and with ourselves so weak, and the devil ever trying to sow seeds of doubt and despair, fiery darts even coming into our hearts, help us, Lord. Let us abound in hope. Even as I was thinking about this for myself, I couldn't help but ask the question, have I struggled this last year, as so many of us have? Have we struggled sometimes because we didn't ask? Or maybe you're struggling even now. That's understandable. It's understandable. But what if we listen to Paul and begin to pray like Paul prays? Lord, there's so little reason to hope when we look around us. Maybe even less reason to hope when we look within us. But here we have words from you that we can pray, and we would seek to pray them every day. Make us to abound in hope. And when we pray, can we be sure that God will hear us and answer us and do for us more abundantly even than we can ask or think? These words in the text, they aren't given to us to tease us. No, God Himself is teaching. And if these are His words, we can be sure He loves to hear them prayed back to Him. And so let that be our resolve going forward. Who knows what's coming in the short term. But regardless of what it may be, as we seek the God of hope, what reasons to anticipate that He will make us to abound in hope, if we ask Him, as we ask Him. So, let's be asking. Amen. Let's pray. Lord our God, once more we cry to You, like the Apostle Paul, and pray that You would make us to abound in hope. God of hope. God of hope, what a beautiful way to think of You, to address You, to know You. Fill us, we pray, with all joy and peace in believing. Make it so for us that we are all believing, and then make it so also that we are full of joy and peace. And so make it also that we abound in hope, that with whatever comes in our life, and no one can be sure of things in this world and with ourselves, but we can be sure of things when we look to You. And we pray for that, Lord. We pray that You will bless this word, and by the power of Your Holy Spirit, teach us to pray and hear our prayers. Hear them for the sake of Your beloved Son, who came also to secure hope for sinners in themselves, hopeless and undeserving. We acknowledge that, Lord. We acknowledge our many sins and our sinfulness. But we pray that You would bless us through Your Son, including in these days in which we live, different discouragements, also peculiar to each person and family. We pray, Lord, for those who are struggling. We pray for those who are being tempted and tried. We pray for those who are experiencing very much in their life the pressure of tribulation. Whatever that may be, we ask, O Lord, that You will meet them even in these moments, and minister to them and fill them with hope. We pray, Lord, too, about our time, specifically for all of us. We think of the news that came today that that there will be no in-person schooling. And maybe some have been fine with that news. Maybe others have been very upset by that news, disappointed, grieved, angered even. We pray, Lord, that you would hear us and help us even in these things, and grant that we may submit all to your sovereign will and way. We pray, too, about the ongoing limitations that affect us at so many levels, including also in church life. And Lord, we grieve at the continued restrictions. We grieve over the inability to meet and to fellowship and to worship as we did in times past. We pray that you would incline the hearts of those who govern us to see also how important it is for your people to meet, and also to trust that it can be done safely and responsibly. We pray, Lord, that you would work in our Premier's heart and also others who advise him and direct him. And we pray, Lord, for relief, for a change. Yes, Lord, that you would hear us and help us also in these things. Give wisdom to the consistory. Give wisdom to every church leadership throughout the province. Lord, how these times test us, how we need wisdom to walk in obedience to your word, to do all things for the glory of Christ, and to preserve also the unity of the fellowship of the people of God. We cry to you and pray that you will go before us and that you will bless us. We think too of many other aspects of life that continue to be hindered and affected, businesses that are not able to operate, livelihoods that are threatened and even worse, an economy that is so chaotic and so uncertain, mental health for many being a matter like never before. Lord our God, we cry out to you and ask for your mercy. We think too of those who continue to be sick, for hospital systems that continue to struggle, though we thank you for some relief on that score. We pray, Lord, too, in acknowledgement of the fact that despite all these things, there has been seemingly so little acknowledging of your holiness, and we have not heard of widespread repentance and reviving. So far as we can tell, Lord, your judgments have not rendered men and women humble. And Lord, we know that your work is always way beyond what we can measure, and we rest in that, but we pray that you would nevertheless be merciful to us still, and in wrath, remember us in mercy and grace. We pray, Lord, that you would help us as a people to be earnest in prayer and faithful in witness. And we pray that despite all that is happening, your word may still run and be glorified. Christ may still be lifted up and people drawn to him. And Lord, that the outcome may be that your church is increased and built up in number and in virtue, and you are glorified, honored, and praised. Lord, we commend ourselves into your hand. We pray that you will bless further the word that was considered this evening, and also as we go further into the night, watch over us and keep us. Bless the young people that will appear before our consistory here, and give them all they need also to speak. We thank you for this as well, and acknowledge that it is an evidence of your presence among us and your faithfulness still. And we are humbled and we are thankful, and we pray that we may be faithful too. Hear our prayer and bless us now, and remember us in your grace. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Have a good evening, everyone.